Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, this is Healthy Gut Girl with Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, coming to you from deep inside your small intestine. Why am I deep inside your small intestine, you ask? Well, this is a place from which I teach everyone to get healthy, because it all begins in the gut, and that's why I'm Healthy Gut Girl. This is a mind-blowing podcast of new health and nutrition research that will make you say, hey, this is stuff my doctor should know. I'm Catalina Martone, health practitioner, and this is my partner in crime, creative producer, tech man, director, and sidekick, Mark Lobato.
Hello, and add guinea pig on there. Guinea pig. Not pig, just a guinea.
That'll do, pig.
So I hear today we're going to be talking about something that's really, really unique, and sugar cravings.
Mm-hmm.
But, yesterday I was in Whole Foods, and I was just trying to get some ingredients for a meal I wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want going over to the bins they have there, you know, with all their grains and whatnot. But they have these yogurt-covered almonds I always dig, and I go and I just grab a handful, and I was kind of feeling a little tired, and I just eat like three or four, and my energy goes up, and then I look and I see 22 grams for sugar for eight pieces. And
oh my goodness,
bad, man. And I know that's not good, man.
Bad Whole Foods. Well, no, it's not their fault.
No, I mean, it's choice. You have a choice.
You do.
It always comes down to that.
You do. And I think, you know, I don't know when it was. I should probably look this up and make sure when it happened exactly. Probably after the Industrial Revolution sometime, I'm sure. That's vague. Where they realized that the combination of fat, sugar, and salt was incredibly addicting and created this this state of mind in our bodies where we want more. You know, it's very gratifying to put those three ingredients together, and the body gets much, much satisfaction from having something that has plenty of each. So we've become kind of addicted to it, and sugar, especially refined sugar, you know, it does a tremendous number on our brains. You know, they found out that our brains react much the same way to sugar as to cocaine and other drugs.
That's powerful.
It is. It's crazy. And but here I have a story for you. Did you ever see the movie or the television miniseries Planet Earth? There was an English one.
But that was the Sigourney Weaver narrative.
Yeah, but it was also done in Britain with the man
with
that just passed away.
Richard Attenborough.
Yes, that was my favorite.
Oh, you
actually
could listen to anything he says.
Yeah.
I you know.
Listen to him read the phone book.
Him and Morgan Freeman, I could listen to anything.
Yeah. So anyway, they did an episode, and I highly recommend you look it up on YouTube, called, I think it was called The Jungle Floor. Maybe? Yeah. Or
okay.
The Rainforest Floor. The
I don't
rainforest
recall
floor.
That one.
Well, it was basically just showing you the life on the floor of the rainforest and how crucial it is to the checks and balances of the rainforest. Right?
I do remember that now, yes.
Right. And so it was, what was fascinating about it to me was there was one part where a particular ant colony got infected. One ant got infected with a fungus.
It was a mushroom spore.
It was a cordyceps, yeah. And so the other ants noticed that he was sick. I don't know what they noticed. Like, I don't know if he was like, hey, you know, standing
no,
at the water cooler.
Wasn't he growing like a root out of his head?
No. don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Okay. That's
no, he was acting weird. He was just acting
like
drunk.
Insane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they carry him away, and they take him really far from the colony so he doesn't infect anyone else. And this fungus in this ant's brain drive him to climb to the tallest branch in the highest tree that this ant can get to. And there he dies, and the fungus consumes him from the inside out.
Right.
And that's when this spore antenna pops
just
through
pops
his
out.
Head.
I
and
know. Oh,
I mean, it's so sci-fi.
It's like Alien. It really
so
is.
So beautiful. It really is beautiful because the colors of this fungus were tremendous. They were like vibrant, you know, fluorescent colors. And they showed all these different sort of clips of different cordyceps and different insects that were being infected and that had died. I loved it. I was so fascinated by this. My point to telling the story, what happens is
the
spore,
sugar.
It does. We'll get back on track in a minute. So what happens is the fungus engulfs this creature and then it spores. So at a certain time, probably at night, like most fungus, it spores and it like almost like a dandelion, like when you blow on a dandelion, the flower and it like shoots everywhere.
Sure.
That's what happens. It like shoots and all these fungus spores fall down on the floor of the jungle or the rainforest. And then again, it infects another colony of bugs. And this is nature's checks and balances. If it weren't for these fungus, these creatures would completely take over the forest and it would be out of balance and it would be a messed up ecosystem. So I loved that because I liken it to exactly what's going on the inside of our bodies and the outside, really. When you have a sugar craving, you have an imbalance of bacteria in your body that are driving you to crave sugar. Now, listen, for those of you out there who are like, oh, she's one of these people that blames other things for people's obesity and for people's cravings and such. I'm not that. You know that. I'm
right.
Not that person. But it is a fact. You really do crave what your bacteria load, what the abundance, whatever population in your body is the most powerful, I guess. They are the ones, especially if they're virulent, they are the ones who will drive you to crave things like sugar.
So it's the overriding influence of the organisms that desire sugar that make you want to go for sugar.
Well said. Absolutely. That's exactly
right.
Not to say that someone with a balanced gut doesn't crave sugar, but they can get satisfaction from having something like a carrot that is incredibly sweet to somebody who doesn't eat refined sugar or doesn't eat a lot of even regular sugars from fruit. And they have a carrot and they feel satisfied by a carrot. Where someone who's craving sugar needs those short chain, refined, quick, easy access. These bugs want easy access to the sugar. They want it to burn quickly. And so they need things like junky. They need things that burn rapidly, like a yogurt covered almond.
So candida, that's the big one. That's the big one.
That's a fungus. There's lots of fungus in us. There's a lot of fungus among us.
And there was an interesting article I was reading about how the science had found out that most cancers, that they, when you give them like corn syrup, they just grow.
Mm.
They just expand and just, you know.
Well, anything.
Any cancer you have.
Yeah.
They feed off the sugar.
Anything like cancer, any pathogen is going to find it a very happy, habitable place that is super acidic and inflamed, right? Like if it's very an acidic environment, they're going to thrive in that environment. And so when you add things that create more of an acidic environment, like high fructose corn syrup, even just refined sugar, even just regular sugar, that's going to create an acidic environment. Mm. So going back to the candida is a fungus for those of you that don't know. And much like the rainforest, it is harmoniously meant to be living within us. Same thing with, you might find this shocking, but same thing with parasites and certain virulent bacteria. I bet most people don't realize they have E. coli in their guts, and they're supposed to have E. coli in their guts. We're all meant to have certain virulent bacteria. 85% of the bacteria in our microbiome, in our bodies, is supposed to be beneficial. The rest of them are neutral and guess what? Pathogens. They're bad guys.
Interesting.
But they stay in that checks and balances. They stay within their boundaries until you've upset the apple cart. And that happens by
God, doesn't that sound like the outer world? Like if you respect your neighbors, you know, whether they
could be enemies,
that you can live harmoniously with them. But once you upset the pot and go in there and stir things up and...
Mm-hmm. You can really trip out hard on this stuff because it's very much,
the inner world is the outer world.
Above, so below,
yeah,
as
right.
out, and so within.
That gets a little spiritual.
It is a spiritual thing, if you ask me. I really think it is. I think that there is a harmony. You know, and when we go in and we try and destroy all our candida or destroy all the parasites, and we do these invasive and extreme cleanses to kill candida, we're actually liberating whatever the candida is there to try. So let's put it this way. Candida is like mucus, and it is also like cholesterol, right? They have many functions in the body, and one of them is to protect you from foreign invaders. Let's keep it simple, right? Something comes in the body. For example, maybe you get a mercury filling, and that process allowed some of those metals to get loose into the body. And your body will fall on its backup mechanisms, one of them being mucus, another being candida, to immobilize those radical metals that are hanging out, and to kind of like stick them to your gut wall, or to, you know, just to get rid of them, to keep them from going to the brain, the heart, the eyes, the vital organs. And then this keeps happening. So it's not just a mercury filling. Maybe it's a flu shot that has metal. Maybe it's your diet with way too many chemicals. All these things start to happen. Estrogen dominance creates an enormous
amount. Living close to a freeway.
Yeah. So all these reasons, yes. All this assault on us, and our body keeps creating the candida, and it becomes virulent. It becomes a poison to us. And the ones in the gut literally transform into these monsters that have tentacles that can burrow into your gut and literally give you leaky gut. So, but the answer is not necessarily to go in and eradicate the candida, because now you've liberated those foreign invaders into the blood.
Right.
So there's other methods. There's other ways that you have to.
Interesting. We're all about keeping balance and harmony within
very
the body.
Much.
It's not about overriding or killing any one thing completely. But
So I remember one of the first things I learned in my nutrition school, one of the only valuable things I learned, because I felt like it was way too conventional and the information was not great. But what I liked was this analogy of a garden, a rose garden. You know, if you have a healthy rose garden and all of a sudden you've got aphids all over your roses, you go out and you take a spray bottle of pesticides and spray the hell out of your flowers to kill all of the aphids. In the meantime, damaging the product, damaging the flower, you know, creating this chemical cacostorm. And then only to find out that a few months later, you've got the same problem again. That's the mentality of conventional medicine, is to go in and eradicate the symptom, go in there and pick off all those aphids. But what you really want to do is go into the soil. You don't even want to look at the aphids. They are the cherry on top of the big layer cake you've got to deal with. You go into the foundation, the soil, and you start to, I like to say, nutrify. You start to remediate what it's lacking, and you add to it all the wonderful nutrients it needs, so it has the capability to heal itself. You've just activated its healing mechanism.
You mean using the analogy of the soil. So if you're building up the soil, whatever proper nitrogen elements that make it
minerals.
It would keep the aphid population in balance and check.
What would happen is the plant would get so healthy that it would no longer be a habitable place. It wouldn't be a happy place for the aphids, and the aphids would find another place. It's the same thing with us. You know, I wanted to say this in the genetic disease podcast, but I forgot about it. I learned that 30% of our gene deck is viral. Okay, so when they did the genome project, they found out that 35% of our gene deck is viral.
What does that mean?
That means that 35% of your genes are viruses, right? But they do not, they don't activate until you die.
That's so interesting.
And then this viral gene deck starts to decompose your body.
Oh, wow.
But what they're finding now is that the gene deck that portion of the gene deck is getting activated while we're alive.
Yeah, you mentioned that there are certain genes that are meant to decompose the body when we die.
Right. They're meant to break you
and
down.
And we're activating them as we're alive.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And so what's even more interesting, I find, is that this thing with the aphid analogy is that you and me, we, if you're not strong and healthy, you become food for other creatures, for other pathogens, for other, you know, outside, inside, and you start to break down. You become something that needs to be broken down and become
you
food
know,
for others.
So let me break this down to the
very
real,
zombie-esque.
Yes, and I'll break it down to like real world experience. You know, I notice people around me at work getting sick all the time, and I don't get sick. Because I take care of myself.
You're my guinea pig.
Yes, and I take care of myself much better than most other people do. And I know people that when they get around sick people, oh, don't get near me, don't get near me, I don't want to get sick. Mm-hmm. And that could happen if you're already weak mm-hmm. and compromised. But if you're yeah. pretty healthy, you can be around fairly sick people
absolutely.
And be okay. I mean, to an extent. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in a room full of Ebola viruses. And
I bet you anything that Ebola is...
Since we opened that since it's a worm, literally
that can of bacteria. I'm not afraid of it at all. I'm more frightened of this Frankensteinian vaccine they're coming up with.
I'm with you now. That's a whole other podcast.
It is.
We won't even open up
but
that right
I
now.
I will say that one of the best things you can do for avoiding such things as Ebola are A, wash your hands really well, hygiene. And B, hydrochloric acid. So the hydrochloric acid content in the stomach, that is what is your defense. That's your first line of defense for bacteria.
Well,
like
that's
this.
A whole nother. We should open that as a podcast itself because you gave me the whole history of like, we don't, you know, hydrochloric acid and what it does. We don't produce enough of it. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's its own podcast
correct.
That everyone
and we
needs
will
to
get
hear.
Into that. And you need to know this because yeah. when I found out, I was pretty amazed.
Yeah. When I first started on this journey of health, I used to get sick when the seasons changed. And I'm not joking about that.
Yes.
Literally 4, 5, 6 times a year.
On the East Coast, that's just everyone gets sick.
Everyone gets sick.
Yeah, we just.
And that just. And I had to get secondary infections. I couldn't just get a head cold because I'm that fun person. I would always get secondary infection and end up with a sinus infection or walking pneumonia or bronchitis or some horrible thing. That was my whole life. And then I came out here and then I started to on this, you know, learn and study. And I have not had a cold. I have not had food poisoning. I have not had a sinus infection. That's, I have not had
you know,
anything.
For you listening out there, just know if you get sick every once in a while and think it's okay that you get a cold every now and then, you know, every 6 months, it's not. You shouldn't be.
Right. And, I mean, not to say you should go throughout your life and not be sick. Look, if you catch a cold, great, catch a cold, deal with it.
And let it go run its course.
But it shouldn't be sticking with you for 3, 4, 5 weeks and turning into a secondary infection.
Or getting a cold every 3 months and it's
yeah.
normal.
Very bad.
But going back to sugar cravings.
Right. So the bacteria. Right. So the best way to kill sugar cravings is to help to begin to balance out your gut ecology, right? Through cultured foods, through adding probiotics to the body. You can do that in supplement form, but I highly recommend very high quality probiotics, which can be very expensive. And we're talking.
So those are the ones you go buy like at Whole Foods in the cold section, in the refrigerator, right?
Yeah. Or buy online from like, you know, Premier Research Labs has a great one.
I'm laughing because I overheard a conversation with a lady and two ladies the other day and they're talking about, you know, I bought these, I'm taking these probiotics, but they're my kids. It was chewables I'm using. I think they're okay. And I wanted to laugh. I'm like, no, probiotic chewables.
Gummy multivitamins.
It's
oh,
not,
God.
It's not high quality.
I'm scared. But,
well, Donna Gates mentioned L-Plantarum being the big one. That's the one that. Like,
there
right?
are several bacteria that are very important to the body. Plantarum is like a miracle bug. Such a beautiful bug. It helps chelate heavy metals out of the body. It helps, nourish the thyroid. Tremendous, tremendous things that these beneficial bacteria do for us. And my suggestion to anybody, to everybody is to actually pursue making these cultured veggies. If it's out of your realm of doing that because you're lazy or because you're not a cook or whatever your excuse may be, I would suggest go to Whole Foods or your local like co-op and buy coconut kefir. And that's coconut water that's fermented. And that, it's not, don't think of it as delicious. Oh, I'm going to have this wonderful coconut beverage. Think of it as medicine, and it's way cheaper than any probiotic you'll buy, and
it's
far
not
more
supposed
effective.
To taste good. It
tastes like vinegar.
Yeah, I mean, it's bubbly, but they also sell cultured veggies. I bought a couple of jars.
Yeah, you can get cultured veggies. I just find that with people who are high maintenance and can't be bothered, that if they just buy the coconut water that's fermented and they just do a couple shots every time they're near the fridge, that's better than nothing, and it's better than
a
probiotic.
I want to bring this up, and I hope this is okay. And I know you were talking to me about one of your clients. You can't mention names, but you said, you know, when you were going through what they eat and their diet. And they're like, I got these problems, whatever the issues is, they got major problems. And you look and they're drinking a whole bunch of soda. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know, you got to cut this out. And I think you said the first response from the person was, oh no, I can't give that up.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't really see the correlation because they don't know.
And you have to give that junk up.
You know what it is? It's ignorance, because we know this, and a lot of people listening know this, but a lot of people don't make the correlation. They don't realize that it has a direct effect. They're like, well, maybe some people have issues with this. And, you know, mainstream medical information doesn't say it's that bad for me. So, you know,
for the short term, because you can't, when you project something out to the long term and something happens to you, it could be anybody's game of why you contracted anything or some ailment, and they can't say it was directly correlated to sugar. And that's
how
they get away around it.
Science is basically showing that.
So we're at 20 minutes and I want to keep going with this. I wanted to kind of mention something about sugar and ask you this question, because I remember I've read a lot about sugar and how it acts like a poison in your body, and the reason, and you should know this listening to this, and I'm sure you can agree, that when you're eating sugar, what happens is because it's been refined, it's lacking the enzymes to help break it down. So it has to pull from your body calcium from your bones and your teeth to digest it. It almost acts like a poison. And so to you, I wanted to verify that with you and also ask you, what's the difference between having... Can you have then pure cane sugar? Is that any better?
Well, if you're going to do any kind of sweetener, in my personal opinion, I would say do it sparingly. Don't do it every day, and use things which I call like long chain sugars, like raw honey, unheated raw honey. Pure cane sugar, like coconut sugar, and it's better than using refined sugar, but it's sugar. And if you're battling with a fungal infection in the body, or you're dealing with any kind of inflammatory problems or gout or arthritis or anything like that, you're just making the problem worse. You've got to go through a phase where you eliminate it from your diet completely, get to a place where you can have it once in a while, because it's so acidic, it's so inflammatory, and it feeds all the bad guys. So yeah. And the other thing about killing sugar cravings is doing the coconut kefir when you're having a craving. As much as you don't want something sour when you want something sweet, right, you do it anyway. And then eventually you'll start to see that those cravings will subside. And the more you eat cultured vegetables, the more you eat cultured foods, the more you'll see the difference with your cravings. But you have to make drastic changes in your diet. There's no two ways about it.
And that's a big one. Cut out sugar, and you'll feel, just by that alone, even if you don't do a lot of other stuff, you will improve your health greatly, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So since we're coming down to the end of this, want to give us a tip of the day?
Stop eating sugar.
And so, yeah, when you're going to your coffee, don't get the caramel macchiato.
Try stevia. Try your cone syrup.
I like stevia.
I'm not a fan, but a lot of people are.
Well, the vanilla stevia I like.
Well, that's got natural flavors in it probably. But, you know, you'll also start to lose that craving, you'll notice. So...
Yeah, modern society, man, we've gotten, like it is become addictive, and it's just breaking those addictive habits is a challenge, no doubt.
Yeah.
But the benefits.
So go to healthygutgirl.com, check out the Total Gut Makeover, and if you're interested in kicking the sugar habit, do it slowly. Like in the Total Gut Makeover, it's not zero sugar.
I
have some bananas in there. I have some dried fruit. So you can give that a try for 6 weeks and see how you do.
And start getting some cocoa. Kefir and balancing out the gut.
Absolutely.
Right? There you go. I like that tip.
Coconut kefir.
I'm going to go buy it now. I'll see you later.